Shall we open it up now to questions from the audience?
How long does it take you to write 300,000 words, and what's your writing schedule like?
I'm just going to repeat the question. How long does it take you to write 300,000 words, and what's your writing schedule like?
Well, I don't have an easy answer as to how long it takes me to write. My writing speed varies greatly, and it's slowed down in recent years. I don't know if that's because I'm getting older, because I have more distractions with all of the things I'm being asked to do, and interviews and, you know, appearances and things like that, awards, or if it's just the books themselves, the complexity of what I'm doing with the Ice and Fire books. When I was writing Storm of Swords, there was a period where I was writing 150 pages a month. That was pretty good, but I haven't duplicated that on either Feast for Crows, Dance with Dragons, or on a new book. So it really varies. I mean, I get up in the morning and I try to get to work on the books, and some days are good days, and I write 4 or 5 pages. That's a good day for me. Some days are bad days. I don't get anything done. Some days I lose pages because I read what I wrote yesterday and say, this is crap, and I rip it all out and rewrite it. So it really varies. We had Joe Lansdale in, another of the great writers we've had, Eric DeCocteau. If you haven't read him, he's an incredible writer. We have a lot of his signed books out there, so pick up some Lansdale and do yourself a favor. We just showed his picture, Cold in July. I don't know if any of you saw that, a new picture based on his novel. And he also wrote Bubba Hotep, which we showed in our midnight shows. And he's going to have his own television show about his series characters, Hap and Leonard. Joe's hilarious, and he's a terrific writer, and I hate him. He writes every day, and he writes like 3-4 pages a day, and he gets up in the morning and he writes that, and before breakfast. And even here in Santa Fe, you know, where he was doing a book signing and his daughter was singing, he was writing. You know, I'd meet him in the morning for breakfast, and then I'd go to answer email or something, and Joe would go write 4 pages and then meet dinner for his event, and I just wanted to kill him. But he's been doing that for years, and that's probably why he has, you know, like 40 novels out there for sale, and you know, I'm sweating. But writers are different. What works for me doesn't necessarily work for you, and vice versa. So I envy the writers who can produce that kind of thing, but I can't do it myself.
How much fan mail do you get, and is it email or on actual paper?
I get I do get fan mail all the time. Most of it is email. At least, I don't know, 95% of it is email. There is a steady stream still of actual letters coming in, but almost all the letters that come in want something. In particular, they want an autograph. So they come in and they have a stamped self-addressed envelope for me to sign an index card or a book plate that they've sent. A few of them don't even do me that courtesy. They just say, hey, send me an autograph picture. The email tends to be much more substantive, but it comes in such huge quantities that I can't. I mean, early in my career, I answered my email, and those were the days before the internet when it was real mail. And I'd get a half dozen letters a year. You know, now I get a half dozen letters a day. And this morning I came down here. I had an interview with the New Mexico PBS station. So I got up in the morning, and I had like 31 emails in my main public email account. And I looked at those, and I answered some, and I deleted the spam. And then I came down here, and I did the interview, and I went back home. And I had another 50 emails just in the time I was doing this hour-long interview. So I can never keep up. And I feel bad about not keeping up, because some of these are very nice, heartfelt letters. And I wish I could do that. Some of them are letters from young writers who want advice on how to do things. Some of them are impossible demands, though. You know, could you tell me how you do characterization? Okay. Like what? I'm supposed to answer that in six words? That's a lecture course of 20 intensive 3-hour lectures here to explain something like that. So I answer a few, usually the ones with the simplest questions are the ones that get answered. Dear sir, I'd like to know, are you ever going to come to Andorra? Well, I would like to come to Andorra, but probably not. At least it's not on my present schedule. Those are easy to answer. How to do characterization is impossible to answer. I don't know. It's an interesting question. Did I feel a need? I mean, certainly owning the Cocteau has brought me into the Santa Fe community much more than I had ever been before. I've lived here since 1979, but in some ways I'd lived a solitary life, as a prose writer does. You know, I get up, I go to my office. It used to be the office in my home, and then I bought the house across the street. Now it's the office in the house across the street. And I write, and I answer emails, and I write, and, you know, I go out maybe to a movie or to a restaurant at night, but I don't necessarily meet a lot of people. Since owning the Cocteau and being here a lot, I've become much more a part of the Santa Fe community than I have for all of these years, and I'm meeting all sorts of people, which is interesting, although sometimes distracting as well. As to why I bought it, I don't know. It broke my heart to see it closed. I love movies. I love stories of all sorts, books, television, movies. But I love movies. I grew up watching movies back in Bayonne, New Jersey. And the theaters were part of the experience, the little individual theaters, some not so little. I love the old 30s movie palaces. Bayonne, when I grew up, had four theaters, the DeWitt, the Lyceum, the Plaza, and the Victory. And I went to all four. I can still remember the films I saw in each of them. Each of them was unique, had its own pluses, its minuses, its own architecture, its own style, its own refreshments. And all of them are gone now, all demolished. And we've seen some of the same things here in Santa Fe. Most of the movie theaters that were here when I moved here in 1979 are gone now. The Lensic survives, but it's not really a movie theater anymore. The Coronado Twin is gone. The City Lights is gone. Even the ones that opened subsequently to me moving here, like the Villa Linda North and the South, are both gone. I think that the Vargas is probably going to go. And the Cocteau was just sitting here empty and decaying. It just seemed a shame because of all the theaters, this was one of the ones that I loved the most. It was unique. It had its own flavor. I saw many Woody Allen movies here. I saw Spike Lee movies. I saw Rocketeer. I think the last thing I saw here was the movie about Johnny Cash, Walk the Line, a couple months before the Cocteau closed in 2006. They had the best popcorn in town with Parmesan cheese toppings and stuff like that. And I missed all of that. And I said, you know, why not? I have the money. It'd be cool. Maybe I can, you know, even make some money off it if we can get people to come to the movies. So it's been an adventure, but I'm glad I've brought it back. People have said some wonderful things to me about how much they also love the Cocteau and like having it back. It's never going to be, you know, the smartest financial arrangement that you make. You know, it's been said that you can, and truly, I can verify to the truth of this, you can make a small fortune running a single-screen independent movie theater. You just have to start with a large fortune. But I'm glad I did it.
Do you have plans for another epic?
Once the Song of Ice and Fire is completed, you would have to kidnap my children to get me to write another epic. And I don't have any children, so that would be hard. No, I want to, you know, I don't know if I'd ever would have written this one if I knew it would go seven books and take 20, 30 years of my life here. I have other stories I want to tell. So I may write more about the world of Westeros But it won't be a seven-book series. I'll do things like, you know, like the short story that I was just reading. I'll do more short stories. I love short stories. There's no money of them, but that's fine. I'll take the $94 and write a story that I like, and I'll write standalone novels again, but nothing on this scale. I may do some more TV and film. I'm developing other TV shows right now with HBO, so maybe we'll get some of those on the air, too. There's a lot of stories I want to write, but first I have to finish this one. I have to get this monkey off my back, and it's a big monkey, King Kong, I call it on my blog. And it's, you know, it's so big, and the pressure on it has become so enormous that I would like to tackle something simpler when it's done. And I have a dozen ideas, and by the time that comes, because it's going to take me at least another 4 or 5 years to finish these other books, by that time I hope I may have many other ideas.
It's 8 o'clock. Can we go a few more minutes, or okay? There's a question there.
I don't outline. The only time I ever outlined in my life was the years in Hollywood, and I only did it there because it's compulsory. I would say, just let me write the story, and they say, no, we got to do a beat outline. We got to know what the story's going to be about, so we can give you our helpful notes. You know, writers differ on this. I often say that there are two types of writers. They're the architects and the gardeners. And the architect plan their novels or their screenplays like an architect plans a building. And they draw up the blueprints or the outlines, and they know how many bathrooms they're going to be and where the outlets are going to be in every room and how high the ceilings are going to be and where the stairs are going to be and what kind of plumbing is going to be. Before they even drive a nail, everything is planned. The gardener just sort of digs a hole, plants a seed, hopes that a tree grows. And there are no pure architects or pure gardeners, but most writers are combinations of both, but they swing to one side or another, and I'm very much on the gardener's side. You know, I know what kind of seed I planted. I know, you know, it was a lima bean or a redwood. But I follow the characters. I follow the story. The tale always grows in the telling. I think I could never function as an architect because the act of designing all that for me is the creative act. Once I know, like the history that I read you, and remember, I have 300,000 words of this stuff here. People have said, you know, there are 50 novels in there. You could take Daemon Targaryen and write an entire novel, indeed an entire trilogy about the things that happened to him in his life, flesh out the details more. And indeed, you could do that. But I'm not going to do that because I've already told his story in this form. So, you know, maybe when I'm dead, if my estate needs money, my survivors will hire some hack to to take this and turn it into you know, a 6-book trilogy, and the story is there for him. All he has to do is the fleshing it out. But I do the art of fleshing out the scenes and writing the scenes and the art and deciding what's going to happen is a simultaneous creation for me.
One more question.
Well, the medium, do you mean for television versus books? I certainly know that medium. I know whether I'm writing a novel or a screenplay. No, I mean, sometimes I'm surprised. I just start writing a story, and at a certain point, you know, we have in science fiction growing out of the magazines as it did, for much of its history was dominated by short fiction. And the awards, like the Hugo Awards and the Nebula Awards, reflect that, the science fiction awards. So they give award for best novel of the year. But they also give 3 awards for short fiction, according to length. Best short story, up to 7,500 words. Best novelette, longer than 7,500 words, but shorter than 17,500 words. Best novella, longer than 17,500 words, and shorter than 40,000 words, which is when it becomes a novel. So I've seen writers on panels at conventions say, oh, yes, the novelette is essentially different from the novella. To which I say, yes, it's shorter. I start writing, and after I'm finished, I count the words and say, oh, I've written a novelette. But I don't, you know, I don't buy this stuff that everything has a completely different structure according to the length. So I've written in all of those lengths, and of course I've written novels, and now I'm writing. There's not even a category for it. There ought to be, you know. Those of you who follow boxing or know the history of boxing, man, in the 1930s there was a heavyweight champion called Primo Carnera, who was a really, really big Italian heavyweight. And he was much bigger than anyone else. He was like half a foot taller than anyone else, and he weighed more. The other heavyweights weighed like, you know, 220 pounds or something like that. He weighed like 300 pounds. He was a huge guy. And people said, oh, it's not fair that he's fighting these other heavyweights. We need a different category for him. We have something above heavyweight for really big D. And they was proposed calling it the dreadnought category. And sometimes I think there should be a dreadnought category in these awards for things like Game of Thrones. And the giant mega books where there's 12 in a series should be not competing with regular little novels, because they're totally different. Of course, then Max Baer beat the hell out of Primo Carnera and dropped his giant 7-foot ass on the canvas. And people stopped talking about the dreadnought category then, because... Okay, he was big, but he fell, and we don't have to worry about it anymore.
Well, thank you, everybody, for coming, and for the New Mexico Book Association, big hand, and for George Martin.
So we do have, are we going to mingle now? Is that the plan here?
I believe we're going to mingle.
We're going to mingle, yes. We do. We're the only theater in New Mexico with a full-service bar, so you can go out there and have one of our specialty cocktails or beer and wine. And, of course, we have tons of books, if any of you read books. we have Rogues here. You can grab a copy, and we have my other books. And everything is already signed. You know, Juno Diaz and Pat Conroy and Neil Gaiman, though we don't have many of his left, but I think we have one or two. Ann Perry, whatever. So thank you all for coming, and I'll be out there in a few minutes to mingle with you.